Did you guys hear about this crazy guy, Elon Musk? Have you ever heard of this guy? He is one of the most fascinating human beings on the planet. He invented PayPal. Okay, how many of you guys know what PayPal is? PayPal is a way to buy stuff basically using your email. So if you guys want to give me money, you can just go to your PayPal right now. My email address is nathanrenner@gmail.com, and just send me money. You can just do that. So all you need is somebody's email to give them money. I see somebody on their phone. They're probably giving me money right now. No, they're opening their Bible. So the guy invented PayPal, which radically transformed banking in the United States of America. In fact, he made $1.5 billion by inventing PayPal. So he took some of the money from that, and he decided to start a car company. And you may have heard of these cars. They're called Tesla cars. Now, what's fascinating about the Tesla is there has not been a successful American car company in multiple generations. But he invented this beautiful Tesla car. How many of you have seen Teslas? How many of you want a Tesla? Go ahead and raise your hands. Okay. Everybody, I mean, if your hand isn't up, it's because you don't know what one is. They're the most beautiful cars in the world. And by the way, they are among the fastest. In fact, his new Roadster is going to be the fastest production car ever made. It goes 0 to 60 in 1.9 seconds. That is faster than gravity. Literally, I mean, you could jump off the steeple of the church and hit the ground, his car would get there faster. So it's interesting. Not only did he invent these electric cars that are beautiful and elegant and wicked fast, he also, you know, he invented this company called SolarCity. Have you ever heard of SolarCity? They're the largest American solar company. And the coolest thing is, he invented shingles that are solar panels. And the shingles look exactly like regular shingles. Not like, when I say regular shingles, I mean regular shingles on expensive houses. Not like, they don't look like asphalt shingles. They look like tile. They look like slate. They look absolutely phenomenal, and they produce enough electricity to more than run your home. Isn't that incredible? So then, you know, you think about it, you got cars that run on batteries, and you have houses that produce electricity. You need to create a giant battery factory. The largest building in the planet was built by Elon Musk in Nevada. It's the largest battery factory, and once the battery factory is completely built, it will produce more batteries every month than were produced in the entire year of 2012. Okay, so then, what does a guy do who has completely transformed banking with PayPal? He transforms the automotive industry with a car company. He transforms the roofing and solar industry with SolarCity. What does a guy like that decide to do next? Rocket ships. So he builds rocket ships. In fact, he's so good at building rocket ships, he basically put NASA out of business. They quit flying their space shuttle because every single flight he does to outer space costs an average of $300 million less than the next competitor. And he's still making tremendous profits charging $300 million less. I don't know if you've ever seen one of his rocket ships go off. It's the most incredible thing in the world. His rocket ships, the way he does it, the way he makes them so much less expensive is by recycling his rocket ships. Usually rocket ships go up and then they're just kind of worthless. He figured out a way to get these rocket ships to land themselves. And it's so crazy when you see these giant rocket ships coasting, coming back down into Earth, and then these giant boosters come on, and then they just gently land. In fact, he even lands these crazy things on barges out in the middle of the ocean. Now, can you imagine? You got a rocket ship. It's out in outer space, and then you gently land it on a barge in the ocean. The guy is crazy. Now, he's a fascinating person. I want to, you guys know, let me tell you how much money he made. He's made a little bit of money doing this. His net worth is like, I think, yeah, it's $20 billion. $20 billion. Which, you know, it's kind of hard to wrap your mind around what $20 billion is, right? What does that mean, right? What does $20 billion mean? So to kind of give you an idea of that, $20 billion means he's in his mid-40s, so let's say he's got another 40 years of life, okay? That means that he can spend a little less than $1.4 million a day for the rest of his life and still not die bankrupt. So that means, let's say you have done really well for yourself, phenomenally well, and let's say you have $20 million in the bank, right? You've done well, you've worked hard, you've saved your money, you've got $20 million. That's like less than a half month's income for Elon Musk. It's kind of hard to wrap your mind around that, isn't it? Kind of hard to even think about that. Now, here's an interesting thing about this guy. Oh, you got to see this. You know, this week, he launched the world's largest rocket into outer space. And what does a guy do who launches the world's largest rocket into outer space who also owns the world's coolest car company? You put one of your cars into orbit in outer space. Okay? So there it is. That's Earth. That's the Earth. And this, you can't see it because our regular projector is broken. This is his little car, Tesla Roadster, and this is a dummy wearing a spacesuit that he invented. Here's another picture. You can see it. You can see that's the front wheel. That's the car. That's the dummy right there. And that, my fine feathered friends, is the Earth. Isn't that incredible? All right, we can turn the lights back up. Yeah, you can clap. It's pretty wild, isn't it? Yeah. So, let's just say this. Would you say that a guy who's got $20 billion, who builds rocket ships, launches things into outer space... Oh, and by the way, here's one of the funniest things. So if he has an employee who's not performing, he has this thing that he does, like basically every single time, right? So employee is not performing, so he says, you know, what's going on? If the employee makes an excuse, the employee is fired. And you know what Elon says every single time he fires him? I am the chairman of the board of the largest solar company in the United States of America. I run a space company and a car company, and now I'm going to be doing your job. And he then does, if that person's job was to design a door hinge, or that person's job was to make an electric switch, or that person's job was to write some kind of computer code, Elon Musk will personally do that job to its completion. This man, I would say, I mean, he's not really that wealthy. He's like number 25 on the world's wealthiest list. So at $20 billion, he's kind of he's not really that high on the list. But in terms of us, and unless Bill Gates decided to visit Discover Life Seventh-day Adventist Church, I would put Elon Musk in a very powerful position, right? I mean, Elon Musk is extremely powerful. So this is what I want you to imagine. Can you, knowing what I've just told you about Elon Musk, can you picture Elon Musk washing the feet of his employees? Kind of hard to wrap your mind around that, isn't it? Elon Musk is building rocket ships to fly off the planet that God created. Elon Musk, everything that he does with what God has made. Are you following me here this day? So this is the interesting thing. No matter how great and grand Elon Musk's power is, compared to Jesus, it is less than nothing. Jesus, according to Scripture, let me read this, Romans 9, verse 5. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah. Okay, so what it's saying is that Jesus is coming from the Jewish nation. Okay? And now notice what it says about who Jesus is. Theirs are the patriarchs, the Jews are the lineage of the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah. Jesus is a Jew. He has Jewish blood. Now notice what it says about Jesus. Who, let's read these three words together. Who is God? Okay. Now I want you to follow. This human Jesus, born in Bethlehem, he is God over what? He is God over every last thing. Forever praised. Amen. Right? So no matter how great and glorious, the guy invented PayPal, invented SpaceX, invented Solar City, invented Tesla. The guy is building rocket ships. He's amazing. And relative to who Jesus is, he is nothing, because Jesus is God over all, forever praised. Amen. Notice what it says in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, what's this word? With God, and the Word was God. The same, he was in the beginning, he was with God in the beginning, verse 3. Through him all things were made, without him nothing was made that has been made. Jesus was with God. That is, they are separate people. Jesus is not God the Father. Yet Jesus is God. That is, he is fully divine. Okay, let me tell you guys a hilarious story. Before I tell you the story, let me tell you this. No matter how grand your conception of Jesus is, it is not grand enough. Can I say that again? I need to say that again. No matter how great and glorious your conception of Jesus is, your conception of Jesus is way too dim. Let me tell you a story. A few years ago, I was at Sprouts grocery store in Modesto. How many of you like Sprouts grocery stores? Oh man, I love that place. If I'm in Modesto, I have to go there. I mean, it's like, I even if I don't need anything, I need to go to Sprouts. Plus, they have really good chocolate there. So, there's never a time when you don't need chocolate. So, you always need something. So, anyway, I was at Sprouts one Sunday. And I was there, and I'm like walking around this grocery store. And out of the corner of my eye, I see this guy named Brian McKenzie. Now, Brian McKenzie is a very famous CrossFit athlete, okay? Now, CrossFit, for those of you who don't know, it's basically like, it's like a sport where the sport is exercise, okay? So this guy looks like Adonis. you know, he's tall, he's like 6'2", 6'3", big muscles, good-looking guy. And I go to Becky. Where's Becky at? She's right there. I go to Becky, I'm like, Becky, Brian McKenzie is at the Sprouts. And I was like a nervous little kid. I was like, this guy is like, you know, I mean, he's a big deal. So I'm like, Becky, Brian McKenzie is here. I look like a total goofy little kid. I'm like, I'm going to go talk to him. So I mean, I'm like, hey, Brian, how are you? I'm like, you know, just like such an embarrassment, right? And I'm talking to Brian. Now, Brian, when I say he's famous in the CrossFit community. I mean, there's a lot of people in the CrossFit community, so he's kind of famous. And I'm just like, Brian, you know, oh, you know, just, you know, being that, you know, goofy person. Fortunately, I wasn't so shameful as to ask for his autograph or something like that. But, you know, I mean, really embarrassing the way I'm kind of fawning over this guy. So I didn't get a picture. So then, but this is where it gets interesting. He introduces me to his soon-to-be wife, Erin Cafaro. Now, ladies, I have to apologize. Ladies, you know what this is like, where you meet, you're with your husband, you meet somebody, and the person is totally into your husband. They meet you. Hey, how you doing? And then they go right back to your husband. Right. So I did that. And then on the drive home, I said to my wife, he said that his fiance was Erin Cafaro. I am such an idiot. Erin Cafaro is an Olympic gold medalist rower. Ouch is right. Right? Like, I should have been like, Brian, you're amazing. I'm so glad. Thanks so much. Your CrossFit endurance, it's totally transformed my life. And then he says, this is Erin Cafaro. And I'm like, oh, hey, Erin, nice to meet you. Brian, you're amazing. No, it should have been Erin Cafaro, the Olympic gold medalist. You're amazing. Right? So that long story is to kind of help us wrap our minds around how great and glorious Jesus is, right? Because we're like, oh, Elon Musk, amazing rock. I mean, look, there's a Tesla circling the earth. It's amazing. This guy, he did this, he did this, he did this. And then, oh yeah, Jesus, that Messiah guy, right? No, Jesus is the great and glorious God who literally made the worlds. He spoke the world into existence. He fashioned humanity. He, Jesus, wrote the genetic code that governs how our universe works. No matter how great and glorious your conception of who he is, it is way too small. It says in Colossians, I love this language, it says this, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell where? In Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. The one who spoke the universe became a man. So check this out. 2 Corinthians says these words, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was, what's this word? Rich, incalculably rich. Rich beyond Elon Musk, rich beyond Bill Gates, rich beyond the Oracle of Omaha. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became what? So that you through his poverty might become what? Wow. You know, when Scripture says Jesus was poor, I want you to think about what this means. Jesus grew up, you remember where Jesus grew up, help me out. Jesus grew up in Nazareth. Just about 3 miles down the road from Nazareth was a Roman outpost named Sepphoris. Sepphoris was a military town. Jesus, as a carpenter, would have been a day laborer building Roman structures for the enslaving power. Did you follow that? You know, in the sanctuary, we don't really think about this. You know, in the sanctuary, they had the evening and the morning sacrifice. You remember that? Do you know why they had an evening and morning sacrifice? Because most people ate 2 meals a day back then. Did you know that? You're at the sanctuary making a food offering to God, right? And the whole idea of that is this idea that most people could only afford to eat twice a day. Now, you might say, oh, I only eat twice a day because I'm trying to be healthy. Well, they only ate twice a day because that's all the food they had, evening and morning. So I want you to picture Jesus, the great and glorious God of the universe. We can't even wrap our minds around that. We're like talking to Brian McKenzie when Aaron Cafaro is there. Right? We don't even get a tiny bit on how great and glorious Jesus really is. And this great and glorious Jesus becomes a man. And he doesn't become a man like Nathan. I mean, I live in a beautiful house. I have a glorious chariot, right? I mean, yeah, it's a 1995 Toyota Land Cruiser with the paint peeling that leaks a little oil, but it can drive over anything, right? But look, Jesus woke up before sunrise, walked 3 miles to work with his father to make enough money to eat for the day. After a day of swinging a hammer, breaking rock, building walls for his Roman occupying power, you imagine America conquered by Russia, and then you have to go build walls for the Russians. That gives you an idea of Jesus' childhood. Jews conquered by Romans, now you're building walls for your conqueror. And you build those walls so that you have enough food to fill your belly for a day. You don't have food for the next day, you have food for the day. That's how Jesus grew up. The great and glorious God that is beyond our comprehension, who is rich beyond imagination, became poor for our sake, so that through his poverty, we might become rich. This is an act of God's grace. You know, it's interesting. I'm a very judgmental person. I hate to say it, but I'm a very judgmental person. It's natural for me to be judgmental, and you're probably judging me for being judgmental, which then means you're judgmental too. It's easy for me to look at people who have made very bad decisions and to think that maybe they need to sit in those decisions. And if I think about the grace that God has shown me, actually, let's flip that. If God treated me with the kind of justice that I sometimes think other people deserve, I would not fare well. Do you follow that? Let me show you what it says here in Ephesians. It says, all of us also lived among them at one time. Okay, so the among them, that's the bad people who are living these sinful lives. How many of us all lived among them at one time? According to the text, what's the word there? All of us. All of us have made bad decisions. We gratified the cravings of our flesh and followed its desires and thoughts. And then notice these words, like the rest, we were by nature, what's the word here? Let's just say this word, deserving of wrath. What do I deserve according to Scripture? I deserve wrath. That's what I deserve. I deserve justice. That's what I deserve. I deserve all of these things. But I want you to notice where he goes here. He says this. He says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Did you follow that? I have made horrible decisions in my life. More than that, just my whole broken nature requires God's judgment, deserves God's judgment. But what does God do? Does God say, you know what, Renner, you made some bad decisions, now sit in those? No, God says, look, though I am incomprehensibly wealthy, I will become not a 21st century American living in a decent home, driving a decent car. I will become a first century Jewish man who's a day laborer. I will be mocked and beaten and crucified. I will be slaughtered on the cross to rescue you from your just condemnation. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Wow. For the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, he became poor, that through his poverty we might become what? Rich. Check this out. We're going to end here in Matthew 5. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, I don't know about you, but when people do you wrong, is your first reaction, I'm going to pray for that person? No. You know what my first reaction is? Not always, but sometimes. I wish that person was dead. Not always. But sometimes, like, I can't believe they did that to me. Why did they do that? Okay. Jesus says that we are to love our enemies. And then he follows it up with these words, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Now, he's not saying that you have to love your enemies so well that you can become God's child. What he's saying is that as a child of God, you should represent who God is, and God is a generous person who loves those who abuse him, who loves those who mistreat him, who serves those who don't deserve it. Do you see, he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those that love you, what reward are you to get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? If you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? You know, he's basically saying, look, do you love your kids? Do you love your kids? Does that make you a good person? Hitler probably liked his kids, right? God generously loves those who are very different than him. He serves those who have made a mess of their lives. In fact, what does God do? He says, let me read it. He says, he sends the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and the rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. He ends this section with this: be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, often when we think about perfect Christian living, we think about not, I don't know what you think of, right? I don't know what you think of. But a lot of times I think people think, oh yeah, I need to stop watching this, stop reading that, stop this, you know, start eating in a certain way. I don't know if that's what goes through your mind. But what about this? I need to start loving people who drive me nuts. How about pour my love into people who have made horrible, bad decisions and keep serving them in spite of it? Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect.